Chapter 38, Sealed Hate. In the Temple of the Ghost Lotus. My lord, the sun will soon pass its apex. I believe this is all the light we will be able to collect. The patriarch looked upward at the clear disk and the shining white light held within. His people had done well. More than a full mote had been collected. He raised his hand in permission, and the 49 men and women collapsed after more than 12 hours of constant strain. Servants that were also fully trained EMTs carried them away expeditiously. The ritualists would be of no use for at least the next week. This kind of active siphoning of element was not without cost. Such costs did not matter to the patriarch. The only thing relevant was the pristine white light hovering above his son's dead body. All through the night, his wife, his matriarch, had wept, clinging to the corpse of her youngest. He pulled her away now. The ritual needed to be completed. She shrieked, her heart breaking anew, but followed his lead, clutching onto her love. The patriarch gestured imperiously with two fingers, and the ritual was triggered. Blinding light filled the temple. To anyone watching from the street below, it looked like a second pale sun appeared in the sky. Many inside the temple wore protective eyewear, the dark goggles being the only thing that preserved their eyesight. The patriarch of the House of the Ghost Lotus stared unencumbered. To the uninitiated, the light was dangerous. To one such as him, who had been born in the light, molded by it, the light would never be blinding. He watched as the body of his youngest son was consumed by a beam of incandescent white light. The boy may have been a failure and disgrace, but he was his blood. Nothing less than a pyre of alpha would suffice. This was the culmination of an entire night's worth of effort by dozens of the most powerful members of his house. Beside him, his wife sobbed quietly. Bloodthirsty and sadistic were words that described his matriarch, but she was also a woman who loved her children above all. Once the body of his son was completely consumed by the light of ritual, the light winked out. The smell of burnt ozone filled the temple. An elderly man, so old his sparse hair was truly white, walked forward. His hand reached out from the sleeve of his snow-colored robe, and he plucked a small gem, no larger than a thumbnail, out of the ashes. Inside the jewel throbbed a pure white light, much less brilliant than the mote of light that had powered the ritual. It was the sum total of light Yerini had collected during his disappointing and short life. With such a pathetic amount, it would take years before tonight's investment was paid back. As the gem was handed to the patriarch, he felt his first emotion in hours. Shame. Shame over having produced such an unworthy progeny. His face did not betray his inner thoughts with so much as an unplanned blink. The patriarch dropped the jewel back in the hand of the elder dismissively. Paltry or not, the jewel would be interred in the primary cultivation chamber of the house, aiding the cultivation of future generations. The patriarch walked out of the temple with his wife holding his arm for support. Not a single emotion ruined the stony perfection of his face. The proper forms had been observed. The respect had been paid, and the ritual was completed. Enough energy had been wasted upon past failures. The time of spilt blood had come. It was only a short drive from the temple back to their estate. A convoy of armored vehicles took the leaders of the Ghost Lotus House from the funeral site back to their home. The matriarch walked with grace and poise, her eyes matching his demeanor and power, the image marred only by her red-rimmed eyes. Upon entering his study, several subordinates and servants bowed deeply in greeting, as was only proper. "It is time to seize the mongrel that killed my son," the patriarch enunciated in clipped tones of command. "Have him stripped, bathed, and conduct a full assessment of his health. If he dies too quickly due to your negligence, all of you," he swept a pale manicured finger over his assembled minions, "we'll take his place in the Red Room. The Wehrguild has already been paid to the Shadow. Send two squads. Go now." The men and women listening, all sharing the same features as their patriarch, sharp facial lines, striking eyes the color of glacier ice, and hair so blonde it was almost white, were already bowing and leaving the room when the matriarch spoke for the first time.
"Maw,"
she commanded, voice full of death.
"Send an emergency signal to the Charlemagnes. I want every member of our subordinate gang at the hospital immediately. In addition, send 8 squads. Take a powered to support each."
The patriarch slowly turned his head to look at his wife, thinking the same thing as everyone else. Mustering one of their subordinate gangs in totality was a bit extravagant. The price that would have to be paid to the world AI for circumventing the local laws would be steep, even for higher-level citizens like themselves. The hospital was also the domain of another familia, and the Shadow would definitely increase the price of the Wehrguild for such a large incursion. Yet, to bring his wife succor in her time of pain, he would pay that price gladly. Even sending 8 squads of their elites to capture a single man, the definition of overkill, did not give him pause. Sending so many with abilities, however, there was not a word for that level of reaction. While every main and core branch family member had been enabled to use an interface after the wave, strikingly few were powered with abilities. In their entire house, there were less than 100. Right now, every familia, every house, was treating their powered as strategic resources. In any other situation, the patriarch may have overridden his matriarch. Yet, his absolute will was affected by the same unknown and undetected energy as his wife. They were united in their hatred of the man that had witnessed the death of their son. Instead of chiding her for being emotional, he walked to a small chest resting on a nearby shelf. Opening it, he extracted 8 shining coins. If looked at closely, the words "Gnomus Imperare" could be seen engraved on one side. Seeing any form of physical currency in the age of credits was odd. Seeing coins made of actual gold was doubly so. Though well-trained to school their countenances, his subordinate's eyes widened slightly upon being given the coins. This was not because of the value of gold. It was because of what these coins represented. Entire bloodlines had been scoured from the face of the earth for less largesse than had just been casually allotted to them. Indeed, professionals around the world would kill 4 or 5 people for a single golden coin. That was the current going rate. The fact that their patriarch would invest such wealth to seize a simple man who was not even a citizen was shocking. Any random member of the familia was more than a match for a peasant. To spend so many coins. The patriarch saw their reaction, but was not in the habit of explaining himself to his lessers. He simply spoke in command. "You heard your lady's orders. Ride swift and bring our judgment." His subordinates saluted and quick marched out of the room. The patriarch turned to look at his wife, expecting to see her seething. Instead, she had a smile on her face that did not reach her eyes. Those were filled with bloodthirst. Looking up, she saw the unspoken question on her husband's face. She tapped a final command into the virtual interface of her link.
"I'm just giving the strike team a video. They'll send it to that mongrel right before they grab him."
The patriarch immediately thought back to her recent time in the Red Room, of her walking back into the house with a white dress splattered in scarlet and a pair of dripping black scissors in her hand, and knew exactly what she had just done. No matter what came of this day, their enmity with Finn Evers was forever sealed.